With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Under the Radar with me, Sean Hughes. Today, we have Sean McLaughlin, a comic I just discovered. When I say discovered, I didn't.
Yeah, man.
I didn't have a big cigar and go, I'm going to make you a star, kid.
I was down a well doing comedy and you fucking discovered me like gold.
Is that where you're from?
No. What, down a well?
Yeah.
No, I've got the look, though. I like the look.
Yeah, I like... Yeah. And also we have Professor Max Bambusa, who's flown especially from Bologna, and he'll be telling us more later, but he's just done a study about 12,000 people, and you found the more they eat vegetables, the better life satisfaction scores we have.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
So, Sean, do you eat much fruit and veg?
No. If I'm honest, I don't. I don't, because potatoes don't count. I've heard mushrooms don't count. Is that right?
Well, the anti-mushroom kind of lobby are quite... They've got a lot of money behind them.
Yeah, a lot of money. I eat bananas. I try and eat bananas every day.
Is that because you've seen tennis players do it in between sets and give you energy?
I also drink a lot of orange squash and...
Barley.
Yeah. That's what I do.
So that's why you're miserable, yeah?
Yeah. That's one of the main reasons I do.
So what do you eat then?
I eat a lot of bread. I eat a lot of... I don't know. I don't think I look after myself very well. I try and eat fish...
What do you mean you try to eat? Is it a difficulty?
I don't eat it, but I try. I always
order it and you go, no, you're all right.
I aspire to buy salmon every time I walk in a shop. And I never do.
No matter what the shop, shoe shop.
Yeah. You got any... Oh, no. I eat olives.
Right, that's...
Are they good for you?
I get annoyed when there's pips in them.
Yeah, I don't go for that. I don't need the hard one.
But they don't really say on the thing, this is non-pip.
I tend to have a real look in the olive. I look in the jar and I want to know what I'm getting. Because some of them are stuffed and I don't know.
Are you green or black?
Green.
Yeah, black are disgusting.
I think that's a big commitment. We talk about olives, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not doing a Donald Trump thing.
No.
But yeah, I find if I get a pizza and they kind of go, we'll treat and we'll put a couple of black olives on, I just go, you've just pizza.
Yeah. Especially if they've got pips on them. Because you've just given me a job. You've given me a job with a
part-time job.
It's mad.
So you're not eating very well. So what's your living conditions then? Are you living on your own?
No, I live with two girls. I live with two nice, normal people. Oh, I'll just open this door. And
there's tea coming. This is just first class.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And a banana for Sean. And the light just went off there for some reason.
This is great. This is like post-apocalyptic broadcasting. I love it.
But so, what, you live with two girls who are just friends?
They weren't friends when I moved in, but I think they're now friends, I hope. We don't hate each other, so that's pretty good. I live in Tooting, Beck, kind of on the Tooting Streatham border. It's kind of it's a funny little house, but I like it a lot, and it's a nice part of town. But my room is tiny, but I don't have much stuff, so it's fine.
Does it help that I take it the girls work 9 to 5 and you're... So you don't really see each other that much?
No, we don't really see each other very much. It's good as well that they literally don't care at all about comedy or showbiz. Like, it just means nothing to them.
What do they do?
One of them is a PR for a sewage company.
Was that her kind of, when she went into careers, opportunity she went, that's what I want to do?
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah, walk around the sewers and,
So her job is pretty much going into the office every day going, doesn't smell that bad.
Yeah, that's her job. I think she gets to go on site a lot, like under the Thames... So I don't know. I mean, I hope she doesn't listen to this because I might be completely off on this. But the other one is a new housemate and she's a nurse. And that's how I know that.
And are you going to all your ailments?
I try to, but she's a respiratory nurse. She's so specific. I asked her if push came to shove, if she could perform open heart surgery.
And well, she said the answer to that.
Well, I was kind of trying to bond and be joking, but I don't mess around with that anymore. But at least I know what a nurse is.
So where are you from then originally?
Brighton.
And so you were living in Brighton, and then on the last thing I saw you do on stage, you said there was a flood in your flat and you had to leave.
Yeah, that was the first day I was in the Edinburgh Festival 2014. Me and my then girlfriend's flat flooded in Brighton.
What happened?
There was just, we were in a basement flat and there was so much rain and like hailstones were clogging up the drains, and then it overflowed. So it was like,
pity you didn't know that woman from the sewerage.
Pardon? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that would have been handy.
My God, that would have been ideal, wouldn't it? That was probably why they had to hire her, the PR woman.
And what did you? Were you renting this or?
Yeah, renting.
Right,
it, yeah.
So it wasn't.
Yeah. It was fine. But our cat got lost. Like, apparently a homeless person saved the cat, but then the cat ran away. And I was in Edinburgh for the whole month. So this stuff was, like, unravelling at home.
Who was looking after the cat?
Well, the cat went to stay at my mum's, and then the cat ran away.
She saw the water coming and went, fuck this.
Yeah, exactly. Cursed cat.
She ran away from your mum's?
Yeah. It's carnage. It was absolute carnage 2 years ago. I really appreciate it. It's really good to actually bring it back up and talk about it again.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly the tsunami, but
no,
like, I'll give you a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you find the cat in the end?
Cat came back 7 months later.
7 months?
By which point we were house-sitting in the Thames Valley and we got two more cats. So now we've got three cats. And we've never asked.
And you were still with the girlfriend there?
I was still with the girlfriend there. Yeah. And we're still very good friends. It's all fine.
Yeah, you say that.
Come on, mate. What are you saying?
It doesn't work.
It does work. It's great. I go visit her. She's in Manchester now.
Oh, she moved that far away?
She had to move that far away, yeah.
So why did you break up then?
I don't know, man. We just, the flat flooded and things got hard and we just broke up.
So you're blaming the flooding of the flat on your breakup of your relationship?
I'd say it was a catalyst to a lot of things.
It's catalyst when you have three cats?
Very good. I like that.
Thank you.
Think the flooding in the flat was not... You know how, like, who's the guy? Franz Ferdinand got shot. And then the First World War
started.
The
band?
Yeah. Is that the thing?
The first couple of singles were very good.
They were very good, but they really fell off.
Yeah.
The Spark stuff was all right, though. But isn't that what people say, like, Franz Ferdinand got shot and then the First World War happened?
And that was in Sarajevo, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Franz Ferdinand got shot and then we broke up. But our Franz Ferdinand was...
So you've been going out that long?
Yeah, man. She's an old woman.
And so you say you're friends. What does that actually mean?
We talk and I ask how the cats are doing because she got all the cats and all the stuff and the TV. And then I go see her in Manchester.
When you happen to be up there, you don't go and visit?
No, yeah. I'm never going to go visit. I won't go out of my way. We're not that good.
Yeah, you're not that... You're friendly rather than friends.
I think we're still friends, I think.
Is she seeing anyone else now?
No.
Are you?
No.
What
do you mean by that? What do you think?
Well, I was just wondering how you'd both kind of relate to...
There was a point at the Edinburgh Fringe this year, because she works in comedy as well. I don't know if I should be saying this on a podcast, but I don't know. Speak the truth, Sean. I was in a bar, and then she walked in the bar, and then she called me over and said, this is weird because the table you've sat at is directly next to a table where I'm on a date with a guy. And I said, it's fine, I'm going to leave.
How did your heart go when she said that?
It was fine. It was fine. I clenched my fist and I went outside and I punched a wall. It was all right. But that was, I think if we got through that, that's a hard thing
to
get.
Did you have a little sneaky look to see what he looked like?
Yeah.
Was he better looking than you?
No, but he knew what to do with his looks better than I do.
Right.
I think I'm natural.
What, he combs his hair?
He combs his hair, he eats vegetables, he doesn't all
the olives.
He's
happy then?
Well, he's got a happy life, yeah.
And then when did you get in touch with her again to find out that it didn't work out with him?
We just saw each other again in the festival, I think.
So is she a comic?
No, she's an agent now. But she worked sort of around the stuff. That's how we met.
And she's not your agent?
No.
So you're in Brighton. Like, and how long have you been doing comedy now?
I guess, like, I did my first gigs at uni when I was, like, I guess, like, 2007.
Oh,
but
right.
I didn't really know what I was doing.
What were you studying in uni?
I was studying English language.
That's handy for comedy.
Well, maybe. It's pretty boring. It's very, like, technical. I didn't really like it. I wasn't very good at it. But I wasn't really very good at anything at uni. I didn't really know what I was doing in terms of comedy.
So what, and then there was some sort of kind of comedy going on at the uni and you went, I'll have a go at this?
I just wanted to, I don't know what it was, I just wanted to do something. And I noticed there was an open mic night in Newcastle. But then I ended up doing like one gig every 2 months for about 3 years. You need more, yeah. And then I graduated and moved back down to Brighton and thought, oh, and it just sort of snowballed from there. But I've always been on the precipice of quitting.
I wouldn't say snowball, Sean.
What do you mean?
Like, you're doing okay.
I think it's compared to what it was, it's a bit of a snowball.
If John Bishop was here and he went, it snowballed. I go, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Sean, I'm not taking that from you. I pretty much saw you, I don't know how it came about, but there was a kind of link to your full show. And I thought, I'll watch 5 minutes of this because I usually get bored.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched the whole thing. I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, thanks, man.
So, and like, but there's so many comics now. It must be quite hard.
Yeah, it is. It is hard. I mean, I'm making a living and so I'm grateful for that always. But it's it is one of those things where I look back at those acts from like, I don't tell, imagine 20 years ago. Imagine being in entertainment in like the 50s.
That was me.
That was you. Is that you?
Yeah.
You and my girlfriend.
Yeah. Doing all our World War One stuff.
Yeah, doing all that, man. I think it's hard, but it's okay. If you're good, you'll probably still make it. Aren't but, you? Or you'll probably at least, if you can make a living, then you can't complain that much.
Have you never done a, I say a proper job, but you know what I mean?
I have done a lot of that. For a long time, I was like working in call centres. I worked in a foreign language school for a while, taking the kids on trips.
LSD?
Yeah, man, yeah. It was a tough sell. It was a tough sell to those Portuguese parents, but it was okay.
But and you were kind of, you know, chipping away at the company while you were doing that?
Yeah, always, always. But then kind of losing faith, always thinking I was about to quit, always thinking, it's never going to happen. Couldn't get anyone interested. Little did I know.
It would snowball.
A few years in, it would snowball, and I'd be sat in a basement with Sean Hughes talking about the disintegration of my relationship.
But, and so, like, have you been with anyone else since then, though?
No, no. I've seen a couple of people, but nothing proper. I'm just sort of figuring out what the hell I'm doing.
So what age are you now?
I've turned 29 last month.
So
29 is the answer.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you're going to have to sort that out, really. I'd like to see you settle, Sean.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, have you got any tips? What should I do?
Just try and be a little less selfish. And I'm not talking about you personally, but comics tend to be quite selfish people.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're very kind.
I can say kind words.
I think I'm a pretty decent fella.
No, that's what... But your comedy... What I liked about your comedy is...
It's a narcissistic thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but... Yeah. And also, you're quite similar to me in that sense of you pretty much plough your own experiences through your comedy. You don't kind of do gags as such.
That's a tough thing. I remember there was one girl who I saw once, and then I saw her again a couple of weeks later. And by that point, she had watched all of my shows on YouTube. She'd read all the interviews I'd ever done. And so basically, she knew more about me than I did.
Did you untie her after that?
Yeah. I go, right, now you've done that. Do you think you're worthy of another date? But that meant she knew everything about me.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, all the stuff that I show the world.
Yeah.
Which is not even the nicest stuff.
But that's what I liked about you. Like, it's kind of... Like, I don't necessarily like nasty comedy, but I like truthful comedy.
Mm. Well, I try and make it truthful.
So what is your writing process, if that's the case?
Yeah.
You just got to remember when this happened.
I'd sort of walk around and I just talk about what's happening in my life to myself, and then I turn that into jokes.
So you don't sit down at a desk?
No, no. I'll have like a laptop open, I'll walk around a room, talk aloud like a madman, and then if I come across a joke, I'll just write it down or type it down. It's pretty... It takes a long time, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, I've not been writing many jokes the last couple of months, and I feel quite empty. But I've never been...
In what sense? Just no fulfilment?
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I'm hungry, but maybe it's just that.
Have some bananas.
I like writing stand-up, and I just do that. How do you write jokes?
I'm very much like you. I never sit down with a blank piece of paper. I kind of let it occur.
Yeah.
But what I tend to do, which I've said to some people, is if I'm like, I'm doing a gig on Saturday, I haven't done one for ages, and what I'll do is I'll run the whole thing at home and as if I was on stage.
Mm.
My dog finds that hilarious because she thinks I'm saying we're going for a walk, and she's going.
And does she book gigs?
No. Lassie does that.
All right.
But I find I can colour in routines when I'm doing it out loud. I find new ideas come along.
Yeah,
Do you write a lot on stage?
I don't like saying I write on stage, but there are definitely moments when something just hits you and. Yeah, the adrenaline or something being on stage, and you can breathe new life into a thing or think of a callback or something like that.
And you
that's very fun. I definitely think that on stage, I'd like to think that I can go off script or find new things if I need to.
Well, that's a freedom, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But I think a lot of people don't do that, and it's all about the writing. And I think that's also great. There's no right or wrong way of doing it.
But see, the weird thing is, like, you know, you're 29 and I'm 51 next week. But
happy birthday.
Thank you. But it's that weird thing of, like, when we started doing comedy, it was purely for the joy of doing comedy. And I don't necessarily put you in this bracket, but most comics now go, well, I'll do the circuit for a couple of years and I'll probably get a TV show. But you don't strike me as the kind of person who looks at it as a career.
I mean, it's a career, like, I want to do it as a job, but I don't... I like being a comedian. I like creating comedy. And that's it. If I could just be a stand-up for the rest of my life, that I'd be happy with that.
Do you think so?
Well, you have to say that, don't you?
You will get a little bit bored with it, though.
You can't, but I can't sit here and go, I need to get on Cash in the Attic. I can't say that. I think it would be great to have a sniff at other stuff, but I don't anticipate it. I mean, I don't even comb my hair. You know, I'm really struggling as a person. I don't think many people... I don't think I'm the look that people want. But maybe.
Well, I think you are, actually. I think you're something different.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
But have you got an agent and stuff?
I've got an agent, yeah. I've done, like, bits of TV, mainly, like, stand-up stuff and a little bit of writing.
But are they trying to push you into kind of being a celebrity?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. It's possible for some acts to make that transition, but I don't know if I do. I think I just get too angry on those shows. Like, I was saying to people that I want my own talk show. And I'd love that.
But yeah, but everyone would, but that's not going to happen.
But what
no, again,
everyone,
not to you. But
people always say that. I think you could do a really cool talk show today. But, like, the problem is people only ever think of, like, I don't know, some guy in a suit like Parkinson.
I think
I want to be like Charles Manson having a talk show.
What, actually in a house and then kill people at the end?
Yeah, why not? That'd be great.
What would your chat show be like then, besides Charles Manson?
Like, I don't know. We just... Well, that's the problem, is people put me on the spot and I don't really know what to do with it.
So you haven't thought this through, really, have you?
I'd have, like, a band play some songs. I'd have, maybe The Rock could come in, I could talk to The Rock.
So
about wrestling.
Completely blowing the chat show out of its kind of
boundaries.
Yeah, man.
There. I'd blow it...
A band and some guests.
It'd be like the punk rock... Yeah, it'd be like the Sex Pistols.
But no... Because, you know, but that's why, like, everyone always said, like, with the internet and stuff, there's going to be so much more freedom. But unless you have a cat playing the piano, no one's watching.
No, no. Because it's not democratic because it's still, because everyone's doing it, so there's no point.
But
you know? There's no, if everyone's putting stuff on the internet.
But occasionally you see on the telly, on a chat show, you're straight after The Rock and the band are playing a couple of tunes, and you in the background going, "It could have been me."
It could have been me.
But then they'll always interview some 18-year-old who does makeup tips, and they go, and they've had 5 million hits on YouTube. And I kind of go, "What's happening here?"
Yeah, I've met a few. I've done gigs with a few people who got big on YouTube, like doing sketch. They're great guys. They're really funny, but they were so young, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, something clicked with teenagers in particular. And you make a lot of money. You make
from ads.
A shed load of money from ads and stuff. And they're really young. And then all of a sudden they're selling out these huge venues and they've never really put the groundwork in. It's pretty amazing. But there's, you know,
you're
good
not
luck
resentful.
To them. No, I'm not resentful because I never would have thought to do that.
But you're of the age that you are. You should be kind of tech savvy.
I should be.
But
I
you're
should
not.
Be. No, not really. I think I immediately went out of the loop. Windows 95, that was my golden era for knowing how to use computers.
Is that when porn really kind of started?
That's when it
in?
Really started, and in my opinion, ended actually. But that's for the novel.
But so you don't do any YouTube stuff?
I put on my shows. I put like stand-up clips on there, but I don't do anything else.
And
on
how many hits do you get on that?
I get maybe a few thousands.
See, that's kind of a lot of work for nothing, isn't it?
Well, it's not nothing, mate. I mean, God, I'm finding this quite a harrowing experience. I think it is a lot of work for
Are
nothing.
Are you happy?
I miss her, Sean. I miss her.
We all miss her.
I'm going to... It's a lot of work for nothing, but also, if you've got a clip just sitting there doing nothing, you may as well put it up there. And
so, like, this year you did the Free Fringe, huh?
No, I was back at the Pleasance this year.
Okay, because you usually do the Free Fringe, don't
First 2 years were Free Fringe... And then this year and last year were Pleasance.
And how do you find the difference?
I really like doing the Pleasance. I'm glad I had the first couple of years doing free and kind of building up a tiny audience and sort of figuring out how to do a show, how to put a show together. And then next year, I still haven't decided how I'm going to do it.
But so, like, again, is it the situation where your stand-up year will build towards a new show at the Fringe?
Usually, yeah. Yeah. There's no reason for me not to do the Fringe, which is horrible. Cause
there's lots of reasons.
But not for... I mean, yeah, there's lots of reasons, but...
But you have a good time, generally.
I've always been very lucky. You always see people losing their minds at the Edinburgh Fringe, and then no one ever comes. And I've always been very lucky in terms of audiences, and the shows have generally been quite good. And yeah, I don't know. I like it. I'd be happy if I never had to set foot in that horrible town again, but I like it.
It's a beautiful town.
It's a lovely town, but not during August.
Well, it's...
It's like Blade Runner in August. It's just freaking banners everywhere and people throwing up. I don't know.
So you haven't actually seen Blade Runner, no?
No, I've not.
Because those scenes aren't in that film.
Yeah, I've just heard it's a bunch of people flying in Blade Runner, isn't it?
Hey, let's watch Blade Runner. I love the throwing up bit with the banners. But so what are you doing with all your spare time? Because that's what a lot of comics have problems with. That you've a lot of spare time in your hands.
Yeah, yeah. I have been drinking too much. That needs to stop. I started swimming.
And drinking at the same time, because that's...
I just drink water as I go through. That's what I do. I drink the chlorine.
So you go to a gym?
Well, I guess it's like a leisure centre, but I never see the gym bit. I only go into the pool. I just do 20 minutes every other day, and I keep thinking I'm going to drown.
Why?
Because I can't really swim. I'm not really very good at it. My technique's quite poor. You see the kids, there's kids getting lessons at the same time as I swim, and I listen to what the kids are being taught, because I thought, because they're...
But if you're doing 20 minutes, you obviously can't swim.
I can, but I can touch the bottom. I'm quite tall. I can touch the bottom of the pool, even in the deep end.
So you do a 20-minute walk underwater?
Kind of, yeah. But that's okay. It's better than...
What, every day?
No. I've gone 3 times.
This year?
Yeah, but I've only been a member. I've been a member for like a month and I've gone 3 times.
Right, that's in the famous Tooting swimming pool.
It's Streatham Ice and Leisure Centre.
See,
so come on down, guys.
Even that kind of you saying that depresses me.
What,
Streatham? I think the word Streatham, actually.
You think Streatham depresses you?
Yeah.
Well, it should depress you. It's a depressing place.
Yeah, don't go there. Is there not one in Tooting? Tooting's quite funky.
It is funky, but I like Streatham High Road. I go to the Wetherspoons there a lot for coffee. Just to look at the people and how they're living.
What, the kind of people that are drinking at 11 in the morning?
Yeah, it's a fascinating ecosystem. It's not a bad life they've got there. I mean, I don't want it, but it's not a bad life.
What do you want, then?
I don't know, basically them, but 6 hours ahead.
But yeah, so you're pretty much... So, like, you wake up in the morning and you go, I've no purpose to the day.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Fucking hell, Jesus.
I'm not going hard in on you, but now this has become a one-on-one. Do you want to do banter?
Not really.
What football team do you support?
I don't, come on, man. Let's just talk about my depression. Let's keep it light.
But you're not depressed. I seriously want to know, because it's a hard slog, especially people who've worked.
Yeah. I wake up, I do a lot of admin. Like, I'll usually have emails and maybe invoices to do.
So that's 8:05.
That's 8:05. I write. I try and write most days. I try and think of ideas. I try and be productive, but it is hard. I'm determined, but I never really work well. I never really use my time well.
Well, nobody does, but no. Are you full of self-hatred like myself, or will you go, oh, I'll go to the cinema this afternoon?
I was doing well, actually, until this interview, and now I think I'm back. I think you've probably put me back 3 years. Yeah.
Well, that's when you were at the top of your game.
Yeah, it, to be fair, that is, yeah. No one's talking about the 2016 show. It's only 2014 show that people have seen. I'm not full of self-hatred. I've worked a lot of my problems out. But I...
What, have you seen the shrink and stuff?
Did a shrink, antidepressants, did all that.
Are you on antidepressants now?
I am, yes.
Because I was thinking of going on them, but then I thought, no.
Why not?
Because I'm not actually depressed.
Well, that would probably defeat... Yeah, there'd be no
point
then.
I thought if I took antidepressants, it would kill a couple of minutes in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess... I mean, it would. But so you could just do your laces, though, and that'll kill a couple
of
minutes.
But have you found them helpful, though?
I guess so. I don't really know.
Is there something you want to come off, though?
I would like to, but it's not, you know... I'm not one of those people that thinks, oh, you're all so diseased if you take them. Sometimes you just... It's a little thing, and I don't mind... I kind of forget to take it a lot of the time.
So when you got them from the doctor, did you have to cry in front of them and stuff?
I didn't have to, but I insisted on it. I was like, I need you to know how close I am to the edge.
And was he very straightforward and went, yeah, no problem, we'll give you this?
As I went in and said, I've already done therapy for 18 months. I've already done all that stuff. I don't want to go back and do all that. And they just went, yeah, take it.
But it is a weird thing of, like, I do think psychiatry can work for some people, but if you get the wrong person, it's just pointless.
I had a great guy, actually. I really liked it. But there comes a point where I wanted to stop digging in. I just was so sick of talking about my parents.
Was he a listener or a talker?
He was a listener. At one point, he hinted that he was sexually attracted to me, which I thought was pretty unprofessional.
Why? What did he say?
He said, I've had thoughts during this process that could be described as homoerotic. Which, I mean, is that...
And then he went, that's 60 quid, please.
Yeah, that's, can I have some money? He was a trainee as well, so it was super cheap.
Was this NHS then?
No, it wasn't.
What the fuck were they giving you a trainee for?
Well, it was cheaper, wasn't it? If I wanted a proper one, it would be 50 quid a week. This was 15 quid a week.
Yeah, but you kind of know what you're going to get for that. 15 quid a week, no wonder.
15 quid, yeah, yeah.
This was just a homosexual trying to score.
Yeah, I may as well just have an answering machine.
And but you saw him for 18 months?
Yeah, 18 months.
And did it give you any kind of clearance?
A bit, I guess.
But you said you talked about your parents a lot.
Yeah, I think that's what it always comes down to. I think that's what they want.
Are your parents still together?
No.
Very telling.
Is it?
I don't know why I've become a shrink all of a sudden.
Oh, I like
sorry
it, actually. I think you'd be a really good shrink.
Well, weirdly, I did psychiatry years ago for 6 weeks with this German guy. And after 6 weeks, I went in to his house where he did it, and he handed me a load of information and said, you are running rings around me. You should become a psychiatrist. But weird, I think comedy's not that far away from psychiatry.
I think if you want it, if you want to really explore yourself, you can in comedy in the same way as... Well, yeah, when I was in therapy, you spend a lot of time just thinking about yourself, thinking about how you're feeling. That's the same
as
when
you write
jokes.
Did
you get material out of it? Yeah. A bit. Because you can't help but end up thinking about yourself in a different way.
And so how did that end with him? Was it a flood again in his flat or something?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. He proposed, I said no. It was, he graduated. He stopped being a trainee.
And went, I want 50 quid.
Again, now it's 50 quid a week. I said, I'm not paying you for that, man. I'm not paying you that much. He was a good guy.
Right, so... Do you know what your next... Like, do you actually deal with a theme in the show and then go, I'm going to write around this?
I tend to write material and then it's usually of a similar enough tone that it kind of becomes a theme. Or, like, there's an idea behind it,
and
I think.
We'll finish off now, but do you find, you know, having built towards a full show every year in the summer, going to the clubs quite depressing, just doing 15, 20 minutes?
It can be, yeah. It can be depressing. But some of the clubs are great fun. And if you're on with good people, it's a fun life. But sometimes if you're not, it is work. It is a job.
Is that what you feel sometimes?
Well, sometimes when you're travelling and you barely see anyone and you go and you do your stuff to people.
I found when I was starting out, and if you're going to start doing comedy, anyone here listening, start in the spring, because there's nothing worse than doing open spots in the autumn when you're going against the traffic in the dark.
Yeah.
People are going home, going, I'll relax now, and you're going... I'm going to do 10 minutes where I'm going to be shitting myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But listen, Sean, it's been absolutely... We actually totally ignored Max Bambusa and from Bologna. Max, now, you were saying 12,000 people, the more we eat, the better life satisfaction with vegetables. Now, those who change from almost no fruit and vegetables to 8 portions a day experience an increase in life satisfaction, equivalent to moving from unemployment to having a job. Is that the case?
That's absolutely right, yes, that's right.
Thanks for coming in, mate. I really appreciate that. Sean McLaughlin, where can people see you?
Anywhere. Type me up.
YouTube.
I've got an album out on Bandcamp. Yeah, man. I'm getting a new website built. Got Twitter. Gonna come to the Streatham Ice Rink. Come see me.
Spell your surname for the people then.
MCLOU.
You sound like Honey G there.
I sound like who?
Honey G. With an MCL?
Yeah, with an MCLOUGHLIN.
Well, thank you. Cheers, Sean. I wish you all the best. I hope I haven't been too hard on you.
No, you haven't. It's actually just what I've been needing.
Thanks, Professor Max, as well. You've been listening to Sean Hughes with my special guest, Sean McLaughlin, on Under the Radar. Good to see live comedy. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.